From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell. On today's program, we have an episode of The New Theater. This was a series which ran on NBC during the summer of 1951, dramatizing then-contemporary works of literature. This is program number 5 in the series. It aired on July 8th of 1951 on NBC, dramatizing the novel by Pamela Franco, The Willow Cabin.
From New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents New Theater. New Theater, a series of hour-length plays dramatized from the most significant writings of our time and presided over by one of the great personalities of the American stage, the distinguished actress, director, and producer, Eva LeGallien. Miss LeGallien.
Once again, good evening. Or perhaps I should say good afternoon. You see, I've had so many wonderful letters from our listeners on the West Coast that I'd like to say a very special good afternoon to them. For out there, of course, it's only 4:30. Our play tonight, or this afternoon, whichever you prefer, is The Willow Cabin, dramatized from the novel by Pamela Franco. Our star is the very engaging young British actress, Miss Sarah Churchill, who is presently appearing on Broadway in the play Gramercy Ghost. So now we bring you The Willow Cabin by Pamela Franco. Each season brings a fresh new crop of young actors. This is true of New York, London, and every other great city where there is theater. And each season there's always one young actress who stands out from all the others. Perhaps she's more intelligent or more talented or just more beautiful. In London, in the 1936 season, her name was Caroline Seward. She was 22, and she had a part in the new Jay Brookfield play. Opening night, everyone knew that here was the most promising actress of the season, intelligent, talented, and beautiful. After the final curtain, the usual throng of well-wishers descended on the new discovery. Finally came that moment which all actors know, when you sit before the mirror and start to remove your makeup, when all the strangers are gone. Caroline Seward was performing this final task as her mother and stepfather came into the dressing room.
Caroline, we waited until everyone left.
Hello. We're a hit, I think.
You are indeed. Congratulations.
Thank you, Leonard.
You were very good, darling.
Oh, I don't think I was. I certainly loused up that last speech. But that was Bobby's fault for making me giggle.
Oh?
When he handed me that photograph and my line is, "But she's exquisite," it was a picture of a hippopotamus.
Get that stuff off your face, girl, and we'll go someplace for a spot of supper.
Sorry, darling, I'm going to Jay's party.
Jay Brookfield? The man who wrote the play?
Well, to be accurate, it's his sister's party.
Will you be late?
Probably. And probably bubbling with champagne.
That's the stuff.
Oh, good night then, darling, and many congratulations.
Thank you, Mama.
Night, Caroline. Must say you're taking all this pretty calmly. Enjoy yourself tonight.
I will. I most certainly will.
Caroline, you were very good tonight.
Thank you, Jane. I suppose that's a real compliment coming from the author.
But I don't want you always to play problematic young women.
Oh, don't you?
In future, Caro, you will come to me before you decide anything at all. Is that a promise?
Well,
even your choice of lovers should be submitted.
Well, at the moment, there aren't any.
Oh, that reminds me. I promised my brother Dennis that he should meet you. He admired your photograph. Wait here and I'll find
But, Jay. No, Caroline,
has that brother of mine deserted you?
Hello, Kate. Yes, Jay went off to look for Dennis.
Curious to have one brother so conceited that he'd give you an autograph on his deathbed and the other so modest that he's barely audible.
I've never met Dennis.
Well, you'll love him. Not a bit like Jay. But he isn't here tonight. He had to fly over to Paris. He runs a gallery, you know. Won't you have some of these caviar patties?
Mm, thanks.
Oh, do take more than one. Are you greedy? Mm. I am very greedy.
What's so nice is that I'm always hungry as well as greedy. would be so sad to be one without the other.
Kate.
Why, Michael, hello. How very unexpected of you. You two haven't met. Caroline, this is Harley Street's boy wonder, the most brilliant surgeon.
Kate, please.
Mr. Michael, no, Miss Caroline Seward. Oh, there's that frightful Mrs. Mackenzie. Forgive me. Dear Mrs. Mackenzie.
You were saying that it was nice to be hungry as well as greedy.
Yes, I have all the appetite.
Oh. Then perhaps you're ready for some champagne.
I have some here on the table. But there's an untouched glass that could be for you.
Oh, thanks. All the appetites, eh? Well, you don't look greedy. I was out front tonight. Your performance was enchanting.
I thought I loused it up.
You thought what?
I said I thought I loused it up.
You did say it. I couldn't believe my ears. Your voice is much too beautiful to use it for slang.
Oh, please don't start about that. Everybody does, and it only makes me worse.
Well, do you not care for words?
Of course I care.
Then why don't you do them more honor?
I don't know.
You know, you're very young.
I'm 22.
Oh, dear.
How old are you?
I? Oh, I'm 39. You know, I should like to see you play Shakespeare.
Which?
Cleopatra. May I drive you home?
Oh. I was going with Jay Brookfield.
Then don't.
All right. I won't.
What are you doing?
Opening a still bottle.
With your teeth?
Mm-hmm.
Good heavens. Where did you learn that low trick?
From my father when I was 11. He was an actor.
Surely no one who lives in this house takes the tops off beer bottles with his teeth.
How right you are. This is my stepfather's house. You know, sometimes I have to walk halfway around Paddington before I can bring myself to open the front door. Your beer.
Oh, thank you.
This sofa is the only comfortable thing in the entire room. You see, this house belongs to the spoilers of the fun.
Oh, is that what you call your mother and stepfather?
Not only them, they're a whole race. This house is their headquarters.
Well, why don't you leave it?
Because I'm a coward. I can't face the fight. And it would be a fight, unless I left it to get married.
Marriage for that reason, and marriage at the beginning of a career, can be the most fatal mistake. You see, I made it, and I know.
Are you still married?
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, can't you get a divorce?
Not as the position is at the moment. You see, my wife is a woman of whims.
Oh, do you live under the same roof?
No, she spends most of her time abroad. She's half American and was brought up in France.
What's her name?
Why do you want to know?
I just do.
Her name is Mercedes. Next question.
Do you think I ought to run away?
You'll do what you want to do.
What I want to do?
Yes.
Yes. I suppose I will. Jay, this is so nice having lunch. Just the two of us.
The only way I can see you these days. We'll eat presently, after we have a bit of a chat, huh?
Oh?
You're comfortable? Relaxed?
Quite.
Another sherry?
No, not just now.
I want you to take your holiday next week, Puss.
Next week?
I know you aren't due to leave the play until the end of August, but you've got to go next week.
Oh, why?
Because you're coming out of this play and going into another, my new comedy.
Am I?
You're a very lucky little girl. I'm starting rehearsals August 6th. We'll open in Edinburgh toward the beginning of September. And you'll be playing the second lead. Will you like that?
Jay, I know I'm going to make you cross, but I can't do it.
I beg your pardon?
I said I couldn't do it.
Would you mind telling me precisely why not?
Well, I'm going to Italy with Michael Noel.
Forever, do you mean? To live there?
No. For a holiday.
Are you serious?
I certainly am.
Then you're insane.
Well,
now, look here, Caroline.
It isn't any good you're
talking. I shall ring up Michael and tell him that I want you for a part that will make your career.
Michael's in Sussex.
Then I shall ring him in Sussex.
You'll do nothing of the sort. Mercedes is there.
His wife? They're back together?
No. Michael's with his sister. Mercedes is staying at the local pub. She came over from France to discuss the disposal of Cold Ash.
Yes, I know. Michael's and Mercy's big house down there. One of those joint property things, isn't it? Nevertheless, I shall phone Michael tonight.
Now, see here, Jay. If you do, I'll break my contract.
Carol?
I'm serious, Jay. I'll never speak to you again.
Well, are you night porter of this hotel?
No, he's disappeared down the hall with a vacuum cleaner. I was waiting for you.
Sorry to be so late. Found your message at the hospital when I got in.
Are you tired?
Yes, a little.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
How is the country?
Oh, about as usual.
How was your wife?
Mercedes was, Mercedes. Nothing was settled. She's gone back to France.
Oh. Shall we sit here in the lounge?
What are you doing in this hotel?
You're the only person I could talk to about it. If you say it's all right, I shall stop feeling guilty.
Guilty about what?
Running away from home.
Oh, yes, I thought it might be like that. Do you propose to live here?
Why not?
You won't be lonely?
I don't think so. I've always been alone a lot. Would you rather I hadn't run away?
Is my approval so important?
Yes.
Well, then, I think you had to do it. But I feel just a little as though I was standing on a railway platform, seeing you off on a journey that you aren't really prepared to take.
But you're coming with me. We're off for a holiday in Italy.
No, I'm afraid that's all been changed.
Oh. Did Jay Brookfield phone you in the country?
Yes, but that isn't the reason.
Never speak to him again.
Oh, no.
Never.
Yeah, well, it's just simply impossible for me to leave just now. The clinic can't spare me, and, well, really, you should do this new play.
I won't.
I think you will. Oh, let's not quarrel about it. I got a splitting headache. Haven't slept in 3 nights.
Oh, I am sorry.
Are you angry with me? Oh, I suppose I'm just another spoiler of the fun.
You're less a spoiler of the fun than anybody I ever knew. Michael, I...
Yes? What did you start to say?
Well, I know that ladies shouldn't make declarations unasked, but it isn't any good my trying to be reticent. I've fallen in love with you, Michael.
Caroline, I'm hopelessly involved. I can never be free. I'm approaching 40, and you're a very young 22.
Oh, I knew you'd talk about our ages. I wish you would.
I should say goodbye to you and walk right out of your life. Oh, Caroline, I'd give my soul to be 22 again.
Michael.
I'll always look after you. I'll always be with you. I can't love you your way, but do you think that you could ever be content with mine?
Always, Michael. Always. Now and forever.
That's how it began, in London, in the year 1936. The next years were happy years for Caroline Seward, in her personal life and in her public life. Her personal life was Michael Knowle. Her public life was a series of plays, some hits and some flops. Then in 1939, there was one of those glittering all-star Shakespearean revivals which the British theatre does so well. The play was Twelfth Night, and it settled down to a limited but prosperous run. Then the actress who was playing Viola became ill and had to be replaced. With only a day's rehearsal, with an edgy, nervous cast, Caroline Seward went into the part. Word got around London that night, as it always does, about what was happening. And the theatre was filled with friends and enemies who had come to witness Caroline's triumph or defeat. During the first interval, Caroline waited in her dressing room, waited for Michael, for his familiar knock, his familiar voice.
Come in.
Caroline, you're magnificent.
Dennis Brookfield. Oh,
Is Michael with you?
No, I came with Leopold Rokoff.
Well, I suppose Michael had to stay at the hospital. It's sad, though. He always wanted me to play Shakespeare, and now he isn't here.
Can I take you out to supper?
Oh, dear, I don't know, Dennis. Michael was coming, and now it's all loused up.
Oh, please have supper with me. I told you I was with Rokoff.
What's the point of Rokoff?
Well, he's here to look at you. He's got to play with a leading part that any actress would give her eye teeth for. They've all read for him, but he's still not satisfied. You don't realize what a break it is to have him here tonight. And what work I put in to get him. I doubt if Jay could have done it.
Jay wouldn't have done it. Your dear brother hates my guts these days.
Will you at any rate promise to have a supper if Rokoff does?
All right, Dennis. I'll have supper with you.
Where's Rokoff?
Well, I parked the car and you let him escape.
Well, he had another engagement. He never has supper with the people he means to use.
Did you talk to him?
Mm-hmm. He wants to see me in his office tomorrow morning.
Aha. Pleased?
Well, of course I'm pleased. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you very, very much.
See here, Caroline, I don't want to be thanked.
Dennis, you're angry.
I'm nothing of a sort.
I can see it in your face. It's Michael, isn't it? If only you wouldn't get upset about Michael.
Even if I didn't love you, I should still get upset about Michael.
But it has nothing to do with anybody but us. Who are we hurting?
Whom?
Oh.
He is hurting you. You are hurting yourself and your family and...
Don't be an ass, Dennis. My mother and I would have declared war anyway.
And all your friends.
Oh, I hate that expression. It suggests a circle of bright-eyed vultures murmuring... Isn't it a pity about Caroline?
Well, it is a pity about Caroline.
Why are you like this, Dennis? Is it because you used to be a friend of Mercedes?
I'm thinking of you, only of you. You know, there's a speech in the play tonight about a willow cabin.
You mean, make me a willow cabin at your gate and call upon my soul within the house?
A willow cabin at Michael's gate. Are you satisfied with that, Caroline? Is that enough? What's the fun of always looking over your shoulder, listening for the telephone?
Well, anyway, that's my business, not yours. Oh, Dennis, let's not quarrel. Let's have a nice, friendly supper.
And then I'll drop you at Michael's?
Yes. Then you'll drop me at Michael's.
I was watching for you.
Yes, I saw you at the window.
Do you hate me?
Whatever for? Oh, I see, for not being at the theater. Of course I don't.
Oh, darling. Oh, why do I have to fail you?
Was it your lady with the osteomyelitis?
It was, perishing woman.
Did she perish?
No, I avoided that issue for her. I hope Dennis fed you, didn't he?
He did. How about you?
Banning left some rather odd-looking cold things on plates and things. Come on in the study, will you?
Leopold Rokoff was out in front tonight. Wants me to see him tomorrow.
Oh, has he got a play for you?
Mm-hmm. Leading part.
Good.
It appears that all the girls are fighting for it, but he doesn't like any of them. Seems he likes me.
Sounds all right. Now, you know what I'm going to say to you right now, don't you?
Yes, and I'm not paying the slightest bit of attention. I'm going to curl up on this sofa and relax. You have been warned.
But look here, darling, if it's a good job and an immediate job...
Oh, stinking drains. I wish I hadn't told you. Look, no job is going to stop my coming to America with you. Why is everybody fighting with me tonight?
Now, really, Caroline, you must do this play with Rokoff. I'll be going to America again next year, unless there's war. Well,
we may be dead next year, even if there isn't a war.
If Rokoff is serious, here comes your second chance. I robbed you of the first... If it hadn't been for me, you wouldn't have quarreled with Jay Brookfield. I refuse to rob you of this. Now, if Rokoff offers you the part tomorrow, you must accept it. Now, promise.
I'm coming to America with you.
No, no, no. I warn you to promise me that you will see Rokoff and you will take the part. Now, promise. Promise?
All right. I'll promise.
But how absurd, Caroline. You told Rockoff you'd be there and you simply didn't show up.
Well, I sent him a note, Dennis, and but I thought I'd better tell you at once.
And you're off to New York on Thursday?
Yes, I told Rockoff that in my note. Would you drop me off at Joan Bridges, please?
There's something I want to say to you, Caroline.
Yes.
You know what an idiotic mistake you're making. You're wrecking your life and you know it.
What else were you going to say?
Caroline, I love you and I want to marry you. I always will. But I've had about as much as I can take. After I drop you off at Jones, I won't see you anymore. Not ever.
Because I passed up Rockoff.
That's helped to make up my mind for me.
Or is it because of Mercedes? I still have the feeling that you're really fond of her. Think she's a kind of martyr.
Mercedes, you get the fact of Mercedes, but miss the truth that I cannot tell you.
What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that there's a sort of man who can hang around forever, grateful for whatever crumbs he may get. I'm not that sort. I refuse to make me a willow cabin at your gate.
I'm sorry, Dennis.
So am I.
Oh, isn't that an extra they're shouting about?
This is the last spring. The guillotine is coming down. After that, it won't matter who loves and who is unloved. We are all for the dark.
Well, will you drop me at the next corner, please?
The next corner.
Joan, can I help?
You just sit and be decorative. Nothing much to do anyway. I'll put the tea on.
Well, I think I've already told you everything. But what I want to know from my oldest friend is, do you really think I'm crazy?
No. Well, I couldn't imagine you're giving up America for a part in a play. Well, what does Michael say?
I haven't told him what I've done. It's the first time I've ever been frightened of telling him anything.
Well, I don't really see the point of telling him at all. Go off to America and have a lovely time.
And tell him what?
Oh, tell him that Rockoff canceled the appointment.
Just lie.
Just lie, for once. Oh, don't think I wouldn't do the same thing. Most women would. Going to America for a month with a lot of new clothes and...
And a sense of guilt. That would make my mother happy to contemplate. Very happy.
And don't forget, darling, we're having cocktails in the bar downstairs at 5 o'clock with Winston Adams and his wife. Now, be on time, darling.
I will. Who are they?
Oh, they live here in Boston. I've known Win a long time. He's a writer, but you don't have to pretend to have read his books.
Michael, what's that on the mantel?
Hmm? Oh, you mean the statue, the stone cat?
Yes. I've never seen it before. And yet I feel that I have.
Well, you've probably seen copies. That's the original.
Oh?
Yes, it used to be on the mantel down at Cold Ash, the country place, you know. My sister sent it up to me just before we sailed, and I put it in one of the bags, and... Well,
it's a curious statue.
Yes, it is. My head's splitting again,
oh,
but...
sorry.
Well, I must get on to the hospital if I'm going to make a speech. We'll meet you in the bar with Adams and his wife, yes? Mm-hmm. Oh, they don't know about us.
Oh, I'll be most correct.
Quite. They're quite easy and won't need explanations. Well, see you later, darling, around 5.
Okay, around 5.
Are you having fun over here, Miss Seward?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Adams. It was so delightful running into Michael again. Such a surprise. We've had wonderful fun.
Then don't stay too long here in Boston.
Lee's a Californian. My wife suffers New England under the terms of her marriage vows.
But only until May. I'm going out to the ranch for the whole summer. Michael, why don't you come out to California?
Sorry, I've got to get back to London, sailing tomorrow. You know, there is a slight chance we may soon be in a war.
Now, those Nazis want a good scare. That's all they need. However, if there is a war, I'll be over there, too. If anybody can use me.
Win, I wish you... Say, Michael, did you know your wife's in Boston?
Really?
Yes, she's done the sets for some new play that's opening here next week.
I didn't know that Mercedes was back at work.
I never knew your wife was in the theater.
No, she isn't really... Mercedes paints. Once in a while, someone persuades her to design stage sets. She always swears she never will again, and then she does.
How interesting. By the way, darling, have you the keys to the suite, or have I?
So, Carol.
J. Brookfield. Yes, I saw your name on the passenger list. But are we friends or not?
Of course we are. Have fun in New York?
Yes, thank you. And in Boston and in Washington.
Work or pleasure?
Michael's been making speeches before the medical societies.
Well, I had a very pleasant time in New York. Thank you so much for asking. Did you meet Mercedes?
Did I meet Mercedes? No, I did not meet Mercedes.
You knew she was there.
Of course I knew. But it isn't very likely that we should meet, is it?
Pity.
What is the precise threat behind that remark?
No threat, dear.
Oh, yes, there is. It appears to be the mission of the entire Brookfield family to drop me hints about Mercedes.
I'm dropping you a hint about Michael, but I see I'm wasting my breath.
You certainly are.
You know that Michael could get his divorce any time he wants it. You protect him from Mercedes, and Mercedes protects him from you. A nice balance. Michael's no giver. Michael's a taker. He climbed on Mercedes' shoulders to a social position he would never have reached alone. She had her uses, and now you have yours. You make no demands whatsoever. I want to tell you this, Carl, but I won't.
You're being unusually quiet.
What? Oh, I was looking at those rainbows.
Yes, there are two of them.
Silly-looking colored hoops projecting from a beastly-looking sea.
Don't you like rainbows?
I loathe all rainbows.
Darling, something worrying you?
No.
You've seemed so preoccupied these last days.
Oh, I'm always like this aboard ship.
Oh. I was afraid that J. Brookfield might be irritating you.
Michael, maybe this is a good time to tell you.
Tell me.
There's something I've lied to you about. Something which Jay may have heard from Dennis. Something he may tell you, either purposely with malice aforethought or just without realizing.
What terrible secret is this?
And I want to tell you myself. I lied to you. None of it was true about Rokoff.
Rokoff? I don't understand.
I told you a lie so you'd take me to America with you. Can you forgive me? Rokoff didn't cancel that interview. I did. I had to. I couldn't let you leave without me. Oh, please, Michael. Say the things you're thinking. You always said that one shouldn't try to break bad news gently.
Darling, listen to me. This isn't easy to say because, well, being you, you'll rush to a conclusion. Will you please listen to me very carefully?
Yes.
For a month, the entire time we were in the States, I've been turning over in my mind the problem of how soon we should talk about ourselves. I suffer, as you know, when I'm obliged to discuss my marriage or Mercedes. It's extremely childish, I know, but I've got into that habit and nothing will change me. Well, it's over.
Over?
The divorce is going to happen. The proceedings look endless, but I imagine that a year will see it through. And when it is through, I want us to be married.
Oh, Michael. Is it possible?
I love you. And I want you to marry me. And that's all.
All?
All.
Well, that's enough. Quite enough.
You are listening to The Willow Cabin, starring Sarah Churchill. Here again, Miss Eva LeGallion.
Miss Franco observes life with a shrewd and sensitive eye. Her deep compassion and what one might call her sense of the poetry of living never rob her of a good sense of humor. Her writing has salt in it. It's clean and invigorating. Speaking of poetry, Miss Franco frequently allows her characters the use of famous poetry to express their thoughts. Now, this, in a bad book, can seem like a pretty dreadful device. But The Willow Cabin is a fine book, and far from seeming a device, the occasional use of poetry seems natural, and indeed inevitable. The title of the book, of course, is taken from one of the loveliest lyrical passages in the English language. Make me a willow cabin at your gate, and call upon my soul within the house. Write loyal cantons of contemned love, and sing them loud, even in the dead of night. Halloo, your name! But I shall get into trouble with Miss Churchill if I keep on with that. I'd better leave that to her. And so now, Act Two of The Willow Cabin in just a moment.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Now, Sarah Churchill in Act Two of The Willow Cabin.
When Carolyn Seward and Michael Knowle returned to England, they found dark clouds of war billowing up like thunderheads from Fortress Europe. London offered few distractions. For Michael, there was his work at the hospital. But for Carolyn, there was no immediate job in the theatre. She was delighted, therefore, when Michael suggested that they drive to Surrey. He wanted Caroline to see the family estate, Cold Ash, before it was sold. And he wanted her to meet his sister, Dorothy.
Shouldn't I have gone into the house with Caroline?
No, Dorothy. Let her see it for herself. Anyway, Caroline thinks that you and I may have some things to say to each other.
Oh, I see. That was nice of her. Michael, you seem so worried, so tense.
No, I've just been on a heavy schedule at the hospital, that's all.
Well, I was worried when I heard that Mercedes was in London, remembering how it used
please,
to be.
Please, Dorothy, I'd rather not talk about Mercedes.
Oh, that's what you always say.
Dorothy, tell me, how do you like her?
Miss Sure.
Of course.
She seems very pleasant. I've tried to imagine the sort of person you would take as your second wife. Somebody as different from Mercedes as possible. A simple person who would want to look after you and give you children.
You know, I think if you asked Carolyn what she wanted, that would be her answer.
Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello there.
It's a handsome house.
It's an empty house.
Michael, I've just remembered when I saw the mantel, the cat. What happened to it?
Cat? Whose cat?
The stone cat. You said it always sat on the mantel here in Cold Ash. I haven't seen it since Boston.
Oh, what made you think of it now?
I was trying to imagine the house when all the things were in it.
Was it the stone cat you asked me to send you to London?
Yes, it was.
Oh, Michael, you love that little statue. Do you mean to say you've lost it?
No, I mean that, I just don't know where it's got to.
Oh,
so.
It would amount to the same thing.
Look here, if we're driving back to London, we'd better get started.
Oh, must you go?
Yes, Dorothy, we must.
Joan, I had to see you.
Caroline, why are you roaming around Paddington at this hour of night? Well, sit over here. Anything wrong?
It's Michael. I don't know where he is.
Well, I haven't got him. Where's he supposed to be?
At a medical banquet. He was due there at 7:45, but he never turned up. Dr. Lloyd needs him urgently to talk about a case. Michael's butler phoned the banquet, then called me.
Are you sure Michael was going to the banquet?
Certain.
Well, nothing serious could have happened, could it?
Joan, is it possible to lose one's memory from lack of sleep?
Oh, is he sleeping worse than usual?
Yes, he's had 5 bad nights in a row. I haven't slept too well myself since Mercedes arrived in England.
Why? She's left you both alone, hasn't she?
Oh, she's left me alone.
What? You think she's been seeing Michael?
I suppose she has.
Doesn't he tell you?
I never ask.
Are you suggesting that Michael's with her tonight?
I wish I knew. But only because I want to know that he's safe, that he isn't ill.
Look, do you know where Mercedes stays? You could ring them up and ask if she's there.
I already have. They said she'd left for the continent last Saturday. Oh, well. I'd better go.
Where?
Back to my hotel. In case Michael phones.
Miss Seward?
Hello, John. Any messages for me?
Mr. Knowle is waiting for you.
Waiting? Where?
In the lounge.
Oh, thank you, John.
He's been here half an hour.
Michael!
Caroline, I have endless patience, you know.
Darling, where have you been?
I, I don't know. I waited for you.
What's the matter, Michael? What's happened? Why didn't you go to that dinner? You're not drunk, are you?
Drunk? No. I don't know. I don't know what's happening to me. I don't remember. And the... Help me, darling. Why were you such a long time coming?
Well, that isn't quite fair. I didn't know you were waiting. Darling, you're not making sense.
Caroline, I'm very sorry, but I think I must go home. If I can only sleep, it'll be all right. Do you see, darling?
Come along, darling. I'll get you a cab. Dr. Lloyd, this is Caroline Seward.
Yes, Caroline.
I'm afraid Michael is quite ill.
What's wrong?
I don't know, but I'm terribly worried.
Want me to come round and take a look?
Well, I think he'd resent it. Anyway, I'm afraid you'd just say he's drunk.
Well, perhaps he is, though that's unusual for Michael. He's been sleeping badly, hasn't he?
Yes, he's had 5 wretched nights.
What's he up to now?
He's just going to bed.
Well, if he's tight, he'll probably sleep. Call me again if you're worried.
Could you look at him in the morning and not say I suggested it?
Of course, I'll catch him early. I'm glad you called me.
Caroline.
Good night, Doctor.
Caroline, where are you?
Coming.
I can't go on. I can't go on. I can't sleep. I'm just too tired. Oh, God, I'm going to cry. I can't go on.
Oh, my darling. Just cry. Don't try to stop. I'm here. I'm holding you.
Forgive me, Caroline. Forgive me.
Soon you will sleep. Have you taken any of your sleeping tablets?
No, not yet. Not yet. Give me 4 of them.
4?
Yes. And some water.
Yes, Michael.
And take the rest of them with you when you leave.
Take them with me?
Yes, all of them. The whole bottle. Out of this room. Out of the house. Take them away where I can't ever find them.
Dennis!
Caroline! Welcome to the Riviera.
I didn't know you were here.
I'm staying with some friends. That villa on the hill. The one that looks like pink ice cream. It was inevitable that we would meet. I saw you at Eden Rock last night and Chouin-les-Pins yesterday.
Would you prefer that I head Michael off? I can tell him the beach is full of seaweed.
No. I'll slip away into the sea before he comes. I heard that Michael had some sort of breakdown.
He's fine now.
Is he going back to work?
Of course. Michael isn't a person who rests easily.
Well, what about you? Is that brother of mine writing a new play for you?
No.
In any case, you'll soon be a nice little girl in overalls making munitions.
Yes.
Or, if you prefer, I imagine you could put on silver spangles and sing cheerful little songs to the troops. When do you go back to London?
The end of this week.
Too bad.
We must go back. This has been time stolen.
Time stolen?
We must go back.
Time stolen. And what about Mercedes? What about her time stolen? Do you know that Mercedes is only 100 miles from here? Alone. On her farm. Does she still hold him, Caroline? Has she begun to hold you? Has she?
They went back to England, Caroline and Michael, back to the war. The nights were filled with flaming destruction. Soon Caroline and Michael were in uniform. Subaltern Carolyn Seward of the ATS and Colonel Michael Knoll, RAMC, and stationed far apart. They were together again for the first time in July 1943, where they met on leave at Cold Ash.
Michael!
Caroline!
Oh!
Caroline. Oh, darling. Let me look at you. How you can look so enchanting in that uniform is a mystery to me. You still love me?
Darling, I am you.
Well, you must think that when I go. Promise?
Promise.
Whatever happens to either of us, I haven't the smallest doubt that somewhere we'll go on as two. Oh, we've shared so much.
You think they'll send you to the continent?
Well, I had a board today. Passed it with no trouble.
Category A.
Yes, category A.
Clever chap.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Michael, what now?
Carolyn, in case I don't get a chance to say it later, take care of you. Please take care of you.
Oh, what harm could befall me?
Oh, I don't know, but I had a dream last night, a very precise nightmare about your death in a blitz. It began with Dennis arriving at my tent to tell me, breaking it gently in the most careful terms of understatement, you know.
I had a dream about Dennis last night.
You?
Yes, there was something he was trying to tell me.
Good heavens.
Only I couldn't hear it. Why do we both dream about Dennis?
Why shouldn't we?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, dreams don't mean a thing.
Michael, I wanted to ask.
Yes, darling?
What about Mercedes?
Mercedes.
Well, what's happened to her? Wasn't she in France when the Nazis marched in?
Mercedes is missing. She may even be dead.
Oh, how terrible.
Remember that winter in Boston, that writer, Wednesday Adams?
Yes.
He's with the Quakers, trying to find some trace of Mercedes. She hated the Germans like poison. Wouldn't know how to keep quiet. They probably got her in some prison camp.
Oh.
Yes. Well, this is a magnificent morning.
Michael, there's one other thing.
Yes, darling.
What about your divorce?
Well, I'm afraid there's nothing to be done until they locate Mercedes.
Well, of course not. I understand.
Breakfast ready, you two?
Oh, hello. Thank you.
Dorothy, you've given me such a heavenly leave.
But I've enjoyed having you. Come any time you like, only I don't suppose you'll like Hamlet without Hamlet.
I would love to come, even without Hamlet.
Well, I do wish you didn't both have to leave today. I hate to have people leave. Gives me indigestion.
They went back to their jobs, Caroline and Michael, back to the daily grind of routine, back to nights punctuated with buzz bombs, days filled with anxiety.
Hello, hello. Is that the Chester OCTU? I must speak to Subaltern Seward there.
Yes, this is Subaltern Seward.
Caroline, this is Joan.
Joan, why are you calling? Something wrong?
You heard nothing?
What are you talking about?
Darling, this is going to be tough. I don't know how to tell you this, but Michael's dead.
Oh.
It's in the evening paper.
Oh, no.
Here in London, he was found this morning in his bedroom, Strand Hotel, bottle of sleeping pills.
Oh, no, no.
There's to be an inquest. Caroline, are you still there? Caroline.
And then we came up to London together.
Who is this, Caroline?
Michael's assistant at the hospital.
Speak up, Lieutenant Purvis, will you please?
Sorry, sir. Colonel Noel and I arrived at St. Pancras at 20:15 hours. I had assisted the colonel in the operating theatre all day Thursday. We were both rather tired.
Where did you go from St. Pancras?
We shared a taxi, sir. Colonel Noel said he would like to be dropped at his club, which was on my way. But when we reached the top of Shaftesbury Avenue, he said, "Oh, this'll do. Let me off here." He got out and walked away in the direction of Piccadilly Circus. He was walking slowly, as though he hadn't quite made up his mind where to go. That was the last I saw of him.
Why do you suppose Michael didn't go straight home?
I don't know.
Do you suppose he was going to meet someone?
I've no idea.
He wasn't meeting you?
No. He wasn't meeting me.
Your name is Parent.
That is correct, monsieur.
Now, who is this?
I've no idea.
Mr. Parent, you own the restaurant, the French Horn, situated on the corner of Dean Street and Soho Square.
That is correct, monsieur.
And you knew the deceased, Colonel Noel?
For many years. He was a medical student when he first came to my restaurant. Back in 1932 and 33, he was a regular customer. After that, he came less often.
When did you last see the deceased?
Last Thursday. He came in very late. The colonel was in good spirits, but I was shocked by his appearance. He had aged so much, his white hair. When I gave him his old table and he ordered dinner. And while he was drinking his coffee, he did what I have often seen him do when he is alone. He had some notepaper with him and he began to write.
Was this a letter?
I did not look, monsieur. It was not my affair.
Thank you, Mr. Parham. That will be all.
Caroline, this restaurant, did Michael ever take you there?
No, I've never heard of it before.
What about the letter? Did he send it you?
No.
But whom else would he... He wouldn't send it to Mercedes, he wouldn't.
Dr. Lloyd, please.
Are you sure?
I was Colonel Noel's physician for many years prior to his death.
Isn't that Dr. Lloyd, understand?
Yes, he was called in when they found Michael.
Is it true, Dr. Lloyd, that Colonel Noel had been a victim of insomnia for many years?
That is correct.
And did you regularly prescribe a barbiturate for him?
I did.
The same he took the night of his death?
The same.
In your opinion, Doctor, your professional opinion, was this death a matter of suicide?
Absolutely not. There is no evidence whatever to indicate suicide. No, this was death by misadventure.
Death by misadventure.
Another beer, Caroline.
Thank you, no.
What became of Michael's sister?
She had to catch a train back to the country. Dr. Lloyd, there's something I must ask you.
Yes, Caroline.
That other time, 2 years ago, when Michael blacked out.
What about it?
Well, did he tell you anything when you came round to see him next morning?
Nothing.
Did he say where he'd been?
All I got from him was that he'd blacked out on his way to a dinner and ended up somewhere else.
It was the same restaurant, the French Horn.
How do you know?
Michael told me weeks later, without realizing he was telling me.
There was nothing odd there. You heard the Frenchman say Michael had been going there for years. If that 1939 incident was a sudden amnesia, there's nothing to suggest that Michael had a similar crack-up this last time.
What about that letter he wrote? To whom did he write it?
Not to you?
No. No, not to me. Was it a suicide note, do you think?
There can be no question of suicide. Get that out of your mind.
How can I? How can I?
The end of the war brought Caroline back to London, back to a changed city where familiar faces were missing and familiar streets were bombed beyond recognition. Dennis Brookfield was dead somewhere in France. But Jay Brookfield was very much alive. He even had a new play with a magnificent part in it for Caroline. That was one way to revive oneself, to work. The Grape and the Vine, co-starring Caroline Seward and Jay Brookfield, was an immediate success. It had a year's run in London and another 6 months on Broadway. After that, it toured the United States, ending its run at the Curran Theater in San Francisco. Closing night, Jay Brookfield gave a party for the entire cast. A huge party.
How sweet of you to say so. We have had enormous fun, and we've adored every second of San Francisco. Miss Seward, isn't she lovely? This darling girl. Oh, these fresh eyes are exactly like hiccups. Won't you have another glass?
Miss Seward.
Yes?
I wonder if you remember me. I'm Lee Adams.
Of course, Miss Adams.
Oh, no, you don't, after all. It's been so long. It was in Boston. My husband and I had cocktails of you and Michael.
Your husband, he was a writer, a friend of Michael's.
Yes.
Yes, Michael told me later that he was in the war, working with the Quakers.
That's right. He was killed. Plane crash.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Michael said that your husband was trying to find Mercedes. Michael thought she was dead. I've often wondered.
Oh, no, Mercedes is here, with me.
Here?
Out on the ranch, Boulder Creek.
Well, I'm glad she's alive.
Now, I'm driving up there tonight. I should have left immediately after the play, but I did want to see you.
Well, that was very kind.
I was terribly sorry about Michael. Good night, Miss Seward.
Good night.
Well, Caroline?
Well, what? Why are you being more cryptic than usual tonight?
Are you going to see Mercedes?
Then you know.
I know about everything, darling. Did Mrs. Adams invite you up there?
No, she didn't.
Probably a good thing.
Oh, why?
You shouldn't see Mercedes.
Why not?
Well, if I may use an understatement, you wouldn't like each other.
Well, why should that stop me?
Carol, you aren't going to see her.
I thought you said you knew about everything.
Miss Seward?
Mrs. Adams.
Did you come to see Mercedes? Yes. Because if you did, I warn you, you're leading with your chin.
All right. I'm leading with my chin. Where is she?
Well, that's her house down near the river.
Does she ever talk about me?
Never. Nor of Michael. Nor of anything that's happened in the past. She has a new life, Caroline.
I've got to see her.
Well, don't hurt her, Caroline. That's all I ask. Don't hurt her.
So this is Mercedes' house. The person who I once hated so much. For Michael, she made the rain and the fine weather. But you look like him.
Michael? Yes, they always used to say we looked alike.
Oh, I hope you don't mind my coming to see you. I'm Caroline Seward.
I know who you are. Do come in.
Thank you. Do you mind my coming here?
No. Perhaps it's a good idea. Although I don't know what we can say to each other.
You may think I'm here out of curiosity.
It would be natural. I own to a certain curiosity about you.
To begin with, it seemed foolish when the two of us have suffered so much and lost so much. Not to meet, not to talk.
I think I've always expected that one day we would meet. But you were brave to come here, weren't you?
Why do you say that?
Well, I imagine that I was always something of a nightmare in your life.
At one time, you certainly were.
I don't want to add to that.
How could you?
I think if we talked for long, you'd end by disliking me.
Why should I dislike you, Mrs. Noel?
Because our experiences are so radically different. Michael's death meant comparatively little to me. That puts us far away from each other at once.
Yes, it does.
I didn't mourn for Michael, as you did.
Well, it doesn't matter how much you loved him or how much I did. Your Michael isn't mine, nor mine yours. And there was, I imagine, a Michael whom neither of us knew.
Of course.
Oh, the cat.
Cat?
Well, the little statue there on the mantel.
Oh, yes, I'm very fond of it. It was modeled from a Siamese cat I used to have.
Then this is the original.
Yes.
Did you ask Michael to bring it to you in 1939 when he came to America?
Yes.
You met him in Boston. You were there with him.
Michael and I had a talk in Boston and a quarrel. Ask what you want to ask. Don't be afraid of hurting me.
All right. There's something I must know. Michael committed suicide, didn't he?
Suicide? Michael?
He was with you.
Forgive me, I don't understand.
He went back to the French Horn. That was your place, that restaurant, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
I was sure of it. He went there the other time. That time he gave me the bottle of pills. Made me take him out of his room, out of the house.
I wasn't with him either time. But I'm certain he didn't kill himself. I have his letter.
Letter?
It's a happy letter.
You have the letter he wrote? That night in the restaurant? He sent it to you.
Yes.
Dear God.
I have it here in this drawer.
How could he write to you? For all he knew, you were dead.
He didn't believe I was. He wrote care of my bank in New York. I found it when I got back. Please read it.
Read your letter. I couldn't.
I don't know why you think he killed himself, but this would disprove that absolutely.
Ever since he died, I've lived with this. That my love drove him to suicide. And you tell me that he sat in a restaurant and wrote you a happy letter?
Yes.
Was it a sane letter? Was he in good spirits when he wrote it?
Read it.
You really don't mind?
Here, take it. It's your letter, not mine.
It is handwriting. Dear Mercedes, I think that this letter will reach you one day. Perhaps it is a superstition to go on thinking.
I'll know the exact moment when you die. Or perhaps the present powerful certainty is due to the fact that I'm dining at the French Horn. I'm being sent to the front shortly, and there's always the possibility that I shall be killed. So, tonight, I had the feeling that I should take a last look around. I couldn't leave the French Horn out, could I? I have come here before, in rage, in sorrow, and once, it appears, in a state of near amnesia. That was just after you left England in 39. Why do I write you tonight? Oh, because I suppose you will always haunt me a little. There's a reality of which you know, and there is a shadow who is you. With the reality, with Caroline, I share all that can be shared. I love her, and I am happy. Between me and you, there is only anger and sadness. Because you were the person who ceased to love first.
I am suddenly very tired. It occurs to me that I have no place to sleep. If I do find a bed, I shall have nightmares. Yes, they go on, and I am still afraid of them. Good night, Mercedes. I have ceased to love you at last. You are no longer my enemy. All the bitterness is gone. Good night.
You see, that is not the letter of a suicide.
No. No, it isn't. It's a letter of release.
Because he loved you, he wrote this to me.
Yes, I see. Thank you for letting me read it.
Did Michael never tell you the truth about us?
No.
He could never forgive me because I was the one who stopped loving first. He knew it. Everybody knew it.
I never knew it.
Well, now you know. He was at peace. He wrote to me, but his love was for you.
Yes.
Take the letter with you.
May I?
I think that's why I've kept it. I think I knew he meant you to have it.
The nightmare is ended.
Now you're like a young girl.
I have moved out of the Willow Cabin.
The Willow Cabin?
A line from Twelfth Night. It's run through my head for a long time now. Make me a Willow Cabin at your gate, and call upon my soul within the house. Write loyal cantons of contemned love, and sing them loud even in the dead of night. Yes. A nightmare it is. I can live again.
You have heard The Willow Cabin by Pamela Franco, starring Miss Sarah Churchill as Caroline Seward.
And that does it for this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. This has been program number 1901. Please join me again soon for another hour of sounds from radio's golden age. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.